Now, the rest of the story. Olivia was ice skating one night in Elmira, New York, and fell, and she couldn't get up again. It was her spine, the doctor said. She would never walk again. Lively, lovely young Olivia Langdon, daughter of a wealthy coal mine owner, had the finest doctors available in the 1860s, but they agreed that she'd be in bed and in pain for the rest of her life. And then one day, a scrap of paper blew in the window, into her bedroom, an advertisement for an itinerant faith healer. It said, "Are you sick? Let me pray for you." To Olivia, the wind-blown scrap was an omen. From nowhere, somebody was offering to help. "Please," she asked her parents, "mightn't she give the faith healer a try?" Well, the Langdons discussed it, and reluctantly Mr. Langdon consented, and the faith healer was invited to the bedside of the stricken girl. He was a thin man, but with flaming eyes and a firm voice. He said, "Let there be light," and he flung back the curtains, and then he bent over Olivia and prayed. He put his arms around her and told her to sit up, and she sat up. Theretofore unable to move on her own, unable to tolerate being lifted without fainting, Olivia actually sat up. And the next day he told her to get up, to stand up, and she stood up, and she walked. Mr. Langdon offered the man money. The money was refused. The family never saw the faith healer again. Olivia recovered fully. How she was made well, that's up for you to say. But for what she was made well, that is the rest of the story. November 1867, Olivia Langdon, recovered now, with her parents, visited New York City, attended a Dickens reading at Steinway Hall. Olivia's brother Charlie had invited a friend, a young man named Sam something. As the evening progressed, it was quite obvious to everybody that young Sam was far less interested in Dickens than in the lovely Olivia. In the weeks that followed, Sam visited the Langdons at their Elmira, New York home, a brusque young Westerner, his outspokenness derived from his early years as a prospector and a reporter. He was something less than the Langdons had in mind for their daughter, but Sam was a determined and a persuasive suitor. Eventually, her father faced and accepted the inevitable. In the following year, Sam and Olivia married. And though opposites in so many ways, they did live happily ever after. Though that doesn't quite say it all. A first child died in infancy, and there were other tragedies which eroded Olivia's fragile health. For her last 2 years, she was an invalid again. June 5, 1904, with its inevitable heartbreaks, this idyllic romance had lasted for 34 years. And this day, Olivia rallied and seemed so much stronger that Sam was immensely encouraged. And he left the sick room and he went downstairs to the piano. And he played and sang some of the old spirituals which she and he so loved. "My Lord, He Calls Me," and "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot." Upstairs, Olivia listened and smiled and died. "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming for to carry me home." Sam lived on for six empty years. Frequently told visitors that he was not unhappy to see his life coming to an end. It had been a good life. I don't know what Sam would have amounted to without her. He was never long enough in any one job before they met for his unassisted talents to be evaluated, but surely that day in 1863, whatever hand passed that printed message through her bedroom window engineered a grand design. For through all the third of a century thereafter, the softness of her gentled the audacity of him, and the result was an everlasting bouquet of incomparable American literature. You knew him, of course, or thought you did, as Sam Clemens, as Mark Twain. But I wanted you to know her. I wanted you to know his wife. I wanted you to know the rest of the story.